HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 64, recorded Tuesday, May 1st, 2007. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. Support is also provided by Slash N Software Red Carpet Subscriptions, the most comprehensive solution for adding connectivity to your .NET and ASP.NET applications, with components for every major internet protocol. Online at www.nsoftware.com. And by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine. Online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Linda Weinman at Mix07.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. I'm here at the Mix Conference in Las Vegas, and I am fortunate enough to be here with Linda Weinman from the world-famous lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A.com. And if you are a .NET developer and you are listening to this podcast, you very likely have never heard of lynda.com. Wouldn't you say, Linda?
That's very true. We don't have any .NET training.
So tell me about lynda.com, because for me, as someone who originally started out doing HTML and CSS, you know, 12, 13, you know, years ago, when lynda.com came out, that was a gold mine of information. How long has it been up on the internet now?
I guess it'll be 12 years this December. So we're older than eBay, older than a lot of websites. I think Microsoft.com was probably a little bit before us, but not much.
And have you kept all that content? I mean, I remember that your web safe color palette was like legendary. I mean, it was the only one out there for the longest time. Are those kinds of documents still available?
I think we have archives of the website, but, you know, I've written a lot of books and most of my research was put into those books. And of course, I have old copies that have gone out of date, but the information is almost no longer even that relevant. I mean, the web safe palette really is not relevant anymore. Back in the day when, you know, people had displays that couldn't even display 32-bit color, that was when we needed the WebSafe palette.
No one thinks about that anymore?
Not really. It's not necessary.
Actually, a friend of mine has been having trouble with colors looking one way on a Macintosh and one way on a PC.
Well, that wouldn't be solved by using the WebSafe palette. That is just the fact that there are different settings, actually, on the displays work differently.
Gamma.
And the color spaces work differently. Exactly.
Yeah. So you guys offer training at lynda.com. You're primarily, what, HTML, web design, CSS?
Actually, we're not. That was where I made my mark and got my name. But I actually started in the business in motion graphics and animation. And I wrote one of the very first books on web design. And so I became well-known in the industry for web design, but I actually have a lot of broader knowledge about computer graphics. And in the last few years, probably the last 7 or 8 years, our website has branched out, and we do digital photography, digital video, 3D, everything to do with imaging, print, web.
Wow.
All kinds of...
So it's just a complete design center.
Yes.
Is it true, I read on Wikipedia, that you worked on Return of the Jedi?
Yes, That's true.
As an animator?
Yes, I did.
So this is interesting because myself, as someone who was originally a web designer and became a programmer, I thought of you as kind of an HTML web type designer. And now I'm here sitting with you and I'm learning that you are kind of a full service design person. So the Silverlight announcement that we've just come from just a few hours ago must be huge. You must be
I think it's really exciting that Microsoft is entering this space, and I'm very impressed with how far they've come in a year, because I was here last year at Mix, and the Expression Suite has gone through a lot of very significant improvements, and definitely the Silverlight announcement is wonderful.
Now, you're also a Flash expert.
True.
So how do you feel about that? I mean, some people have said that Microsoft should just come out and say, we are challenging Flash in this space, but no one will actually come out and say it. Do you think this is a complementary technology to Flash? Is it a Flash killer, as everyone's been kind of saying, stirring the pot in the press?
Well, I wish I had a good answer for that. Originally, I didn't think it was going to compete with Flash very much because it seemed to me that it was more about desktop apps than it was about web apps. But the focus has sure shifted now to the web and the fact that it's cross-platform. I would definitely say that there will be a significant group of people eyeballing this technology that may have never even considered Flash. So I'm not sure that it's going to kill Flash, but I think it's going to open this industry, the interactive design industry, up to a whole new market.
Well, it's definitely hard to kill a product that has a 97% browser what's the word?
Penetration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's huge. And the Flash 9, I guess, is now on 80 or 84% of browsers. So, yeah, I think probably kill Flash isn't the right term.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's room for everybody. I think history has shown that. I mean, Apple, Adobe, and Microsoft have never done better than they're doing right now. All three companies are doing really well, and it's just a great period of growth and innovation, and they all sort of leapfrog over each other and borrow from each other, and that's just the way it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
Probably always will be.
Now, do you think that you'll be doing kind of greenfield new website development with Silverlight, or do you have a sense that you might go back to existing websites where there's maybe something that you wanted to accomplish but couldn't, that Silverlight could potentially be added to augment an existing website?
It's a really good question. I sort of imagine more people are going to be creating brand new properties with Silverlight. It seems to me that the workflow and the technology is so different than anything that's been there before. And it's so easy. I mean, I was impressed that a lot of the demos that we saw in the keynote today were created in 3 weeks. I mean, that's so rapid. And it's almost easier to start from scratch and just, you know, work with that from the ground up, I think, than to redo something that's already been done.
Well, it sounds like if you already have the video codec and they've constrained it, rather than offering a codec pack, they've said, here are the, you know, one or two video codecs we plan on using. Here's a control that plays video automatically. So the video issue becomes then a non-issue. Here's the encoder. It seems that most of them are just kind of most of the demos we saw are scaffolding around video. So they're allowing the concurrent display and playback of video automatically. I think that most of the demos were done with JavaScript as their orchestration engine.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think I've seen a few different deployment methods. It seems like some of what I've seen is just purely in Silverlight. It seems like they have a really good framework for building interactive video where a lot of the hooks and handles are just sort of so built in that to add a feature is just a matter of choosing it on a menu. It's pretty idiot-proof. I mean, I was looking at that going, wow, I want to sit and play with that. You know, it looks really easy.
Now, the kinds of developers that you usually work with that you know, use your services, your resources, your training, I assume that they're probably not .NET developers. Are they Rails, PHP, LAMP?
You know, I'm sure there are some .NET developers who work with our service. Just to give you some background, we have a subscription service at lynda.com, and we have over 300 courses and over 100 different trainers and present very deep dives into, we're mostly known for Adobe technologies and Apple technologies, but we do, Office and Vista and a few Microsoft titles. We do have a Blend title. We do have an Expression Web title. We have, we're planning to come out with quite a bit more. That's one of the reasons why we're here at Mix, is we're recruiting different presenters and looking for different trainers to create training on our subscription service.
So that was my next question, is if you have a lot of Flash and Flex training, are you going to just play both sides, for lack of a better way of phrasing it?
I mean, I don't think it's both sides because we've always been agnostic. We have a lot of Apple training. We have Corel. We have a lot of training in the video space, Autodesk. And, we do 3D. we've really tried to never be specific to any one software vendor. We're a resource for end users. And I don't think people really decide what to use down party lines. I mean, very few people only have Microsoft software on their computer or Adobe software on their computer. So we like to believe that we're just a helpful resource. We offer all of our training in video. So we have over 18,000 different individual movies on our website.
18,000?
Yes.
Okay, so here's an interesting question. That begs the question, how do you deliver that video?
We deliver it via QuickTime.
Ah.
And it's progressive. It's not streaming. And, we've been really happy with QuickTime, but we're definitely eyeballing. We're going to do some sample video in Silverlight. We're going to give it a shot.
And seeing how quickly they put together a branded Silverlight player, apparently in less than 3 weeks, you can put together the lynda.com player.
I know.
the marking, the stuff that was built into the media encoder where you could have certain portions of the video marked as chapter marks and then control that via JavaScript.
I know.
It was pretty
powerful
stuff.
Very impressive. I saw a demo on that. And again, it looks so simple.
Yeah. One of the things that really blew me away, of course, was the dynamic language runtime. And that's really the big surprise of the conference. We'd speculated about it a little bit on this show. And I realized a couple of hours ago that you could have a Rails programmer, a Ruby programmer, who would use Silverlight, use Blend, use Ruby for the back end, and he'd never see a C# or VB, or he'd never even need to see Visual Studio if he didn't want to.
I know. I'm really impressed. I mean, I know last year at Mix, it still felt to me like everything was going to go down Microsoft party lines. In fact, I had the honor of being invited to a lunch last year with Bill Gates, and that was one of my questions to him, because I had seen Expression Web, and I was wondering if there were ever any plans to work with outside technologies. You know, I asked about PHP and Rails, and he said, "Well, it wouldn't be too hard to do," but I didn't get the impression that he was, you know, eager to do it. And it's just so really, to me, a really good wind shift here, a really good sea change that we're seeing, you know, to see Microsoft open up a little bit and recognize that they can still touch people who aren't using everything, you know, only down one party line. And I just don't think that's the way the world really works. I think people are looking at solutions. They're not, you know, whatever works for them. If they only have access to Ruby programmers, then, you know, why force them to learn C# or to, you know, work in something different? So it just seems smart to me that Microsoft, because I think they've been perceived for so long as everything referencing themselves, being self-referential and, you know, sort of serving themselves. And so it's really nice to see them opening up. And also opening up and really getting the power of the web. That was another big shift that I saw this year, was just recognizing that, yeah, developers have, you know, for years built applications that are standalone applications, but really the whole world has changed due to the web, and it's just neat to see things opening up. I'm happy about it.
There's a good friend of mine, Chris Sells, who was a trainer for years and a book writer for years, and he went to work for Microsoft, and he said something to me that I thought was really powerful, and I was reminded of it just now when you were saying what you were saying, which was that he said, I keep looking for the evil, keep wondering where the master plan meeting is happening. There must be someone who's trying to take over the planet. I mean, they are a company, and they do want to make lots and lots of money, but the program managers, the people here are genuinely, I mean, I sound like a fanboy saying that, but they're genuinely interested in making the web awesome.
I think you're right.
You know, and that's such a, and that this conference, unlike other conferences I've been to, has been so, such a different, it's a different vibe in the air. It's very positive. It's very, hey man, do what makes you happy, you know, and if that's JavaScript and Rails or whatever, that's great. I mean, like right now we're having a podcast and someone is running a motorcycle, motorized remote control car by us. You know, it's just a very kind of, it's a love fest.
I think so too.
A web enabled love fest.
Well, this one has this year really has to me a very different flavor than last year. And a lot of it, to me, I feel like Ray Ozzie has kind of set a different tone than Bill Gates set.
No, really, that's
very
interesting.
You know, I do. I mean, I think he just appears to really understand that the web is about open standards. It's about allowing everyone to participate in whatever way they can and they want to, rather than trying to dominate the industry and have everything relate back to sales into Microsoft's pocket. Because in reality, they are going to get new market share this way. They're going to get new market share by opening up to, you know, other platforms and other technologies. It's really a nice, refreshing approach.
That's interesting that you say that about Ray Ozzie, because you and I were at a lunch today with Ray Ozzie, which is where I met you, and then said, quick, come on my podcast. And I had asked Ray, what's your 5-year plan? What's your master plan? Surely there must be a master plan. And he was so pragmatic about it. His master plan was give the developers really awesome tools and kind of listen to the wind and see how things are going and adjust as appropriate, and they will make good stuff. And I pushed him on it, and he's like, no, really, seriously. They're going to figure it out. It's almost a meritocracy, and it's a web-wide meritocracy.
I mean, it's very different because if you think back to the history with Microsoft and kind of, you know, the whole battle between Netscape and Explorer and just what has gone down to date in that it felt like Microsoft was really trying to own their version of the web and everything was going to be sort of like a Microsoft flavor and really not a whole lot of openness to wanting to work with standards, bodies, and that has just, it's changed and it's so refreshing. I mean, I'm really delighted, actually. It's like finding there's a new sandbox to play in, you know, because the industry is such a exciting industry and I love being in it. I love watching everything change and seeing tools improve and seeing the, all the possibilities that are out there become, you know, into, you know, just sort of be born. And so it's great to see them not be closed. I think they're going to find that they're going to, you know, get a lot more market share that way, actually.
So here's a little bit of a shift and kind of a philosophical question. As we start writing this XAML, we start writing Silverlight applications, or on the Flash side, some of the, was it MXML they call
yes.
it? You know, we're pushing around angle brackets that aren't the traditional HTML that we've ordinarily seen. And we spoke to the gentleman at lunch. We talked to Scott Guthrie, and they said, well, you know, HTML has its place. It's going to be around for a long time. But I've always felt that the kind of strange relationship between HTML, DOM, CSS, and JavaScript has been almost a house of cards that we're building these applications on. And is Gmail utterly brilliant or utterly sick and twisted? In that it works, but God help us what happened underneath, right? You know, what priced their soul?
It's human ingenuity. It's people figuring out with limited tools how they can still make compelling things. And I think it's fascinating to watch people figure out a way to do it no matter what. And
is it right, though? Is the world, is mashups building the entire web on the house of cards?
I think what it's done is it's opened up a world of imagination that could never have been harnessed had people not have to figure out how to work around. I mean, sometimes scarcity is the mother of invention, and that's certainly what we've seen happen on the web. So I don't know. I think if we only had one wrapper, one framework, one way of doing things, that it wouldn't be as exciting as it is today.
You have such a positive and pragmatic attitude. I suppose it's one that comes over watching the entire web's history, right? I mean, when did you get into this? How?
Well, I got into computers in 1982. So I guess I got my first computer in 1980, actually. So I've really watched a lot change. I mean, from CPM and, you know, command line everything. And
were you on CompuServe and Genie?
No, I wasn't.
When was your first connected experience?
Apple Talk.
Rock
strangely
on.
Enough,
I
because
Apple
I
Talk.
Was invited into the Apple Solutions Network when I was very early on in my early Mac days, probably 1985 or 1986, because I don't have a computer background. I got into the film industry and into design and into animation and really got excited about the Macintosh in 1984. I'd been using computers. I think I got my first computer in 1980. So I got very excited by the Mac. That really kind of rocked my world. And because it was so approachable and I wasn't interested in the computer science part of it or the programming part of it. I was more interested in design and animation and filmmaking and editing and photography and, you know, all the visual design mediums.
So this might be a silly question, but it just popped into my head. So juxtapose the tools that you used to do the kinds of work you did on Return of the Jedi, which was done in 83.
Yeah.
In 83.
Yeah, before the Mac.
So that would have been 14 years ago. 24 years ago. Oh, my God,
thank
I'm
you.
Old.
A lot longer.
Oh, no. Okay, so 24 years ago, you did something. There was some serious animation going on in that. You know, there was a lot of Muppets and stuff, but with very primitive tools. So what were those tools like versus what we saw real-time, in the browser, lightweight video editing tool in 50K?
Yeah, I mean, it's it's parallel. You still do the same things. I mean, it's really interesting that a lot of the same principles of design have never changed. I mean, the principles of good editing, good design, good graphics, good color choices, good composition, those things never change. But, you know, I used to draw with a rapidograph and a pen and ink and use an airbrush and have to wear a mask and have like black boogers in my nose. And, you know, I mean, it was very visceral. Like you do all the same things now using Bezier curves and nodes and masks and alpha channels and things like that, you know? So it's, you're doing exactly the same thing. You're just using a different kind of tool to do it with that's much more instantaneous. I think that's really been the big shift. It's one of the things that computers have brought to the world is, you know, instant access to and instant results to things that used to take a lot longer.
So it sounds like your work at Art Center College of Design.
I was a teacher there.
Mm-hmm. Is serving you better than my computer science degree, which is now completely obsolete.
I suppose that could be true. I mean, I'm sure there are principles of programming, aren't there?
Certainly, yeah.
You know, and
the basics are always the basics.
Right.
I mean, virtual machines, garbage collection. We saw it 40 years ago, and we're seeing it today.
Right, right.
So you're right. We all come back to the basics.
We do, and I love actually teaching tools. You know, we hear a lot because our library is used in many colleges, and what the teachers love about it is they don't have to keep up with the latest version of everything, and they can stick to teaching the principles with their students or working on a real project rather than having to learn, you know, the next version of Flash, the next version of this or that. And I think there is a lot to be said for the computer in that, you know, people kind of get into everything a little bit differently than they used to, and that it used to be that you had to learn the principles before you would ever practice certain crafts. And now you have, I mean, I just love the Colbert, you know, green screen challenge.
That was brilliant. So what you're referring to is Stephen Colbert,
right,
who is on the Colbert Report, which is after The Daily Show on Comedy Central here in the U.S., basically stood in front of a green screen and danced around for the better part of a few minutes and said, here, I challenge you to make a remix.
Right. And on YouTube, all of these people were doing green screen compositing and adding 3D animation. And I mean, just, I don't know how many tens of thousands of submissions there were, but to me, that was just startling. That was a craft that, you know, very few people practiced back, you know, starting with, like, let's say Ray Harryhausen and, you know, the beginning of animation and special effects. And even when I was into it, it was a small, small industry. And now the fact that anybody with a, you know, video camera and a piece of software can play in that field, in that, you know, sandbox.
And with some of them, with handheld, inexpensive HD video, they're doing quality that I don't mean to speak about Return of the Jedi, but certainly approaches the complexity of the kinds of animations that were going on, the kinds of compositing, the kinds of things. Some of these, you've seen some of these fan Star Wars things, haven't you?
Oh, definitely.
They're unbelievable, and they're done on a portable computer.
I know, and I think, you know, I never realized that humanity had it in them, you know, in itself, or I don't know how quite to phrase that, but I never realized that there were so many frustrated storytellers and creators, and not, maybe not frustrated, but just people who didn't even know they had that ability to play in that arena. And that's what I think is so empowering about the computer, that, you know, we're none of us would have thought to have become book writers, you know, but look at all these people who are blogging, and, you know, people wouldn't have thought to get into the field of being video editors or videographers, but, or photographers. I mean, look at what digital photography has done to photography as a field.
Right.
Just completely opened it up.
Well, there's been a lot of garbage, but within that, there are people who never learned how to do photography in the classic way. I mean, in the dark room and black and white, like I did in high school.
Right.
And I'm a lousy photographer. Some of the stuff people are doing with digital stuff in Lightroom, Adobe Lightroom,
right,
which looks an awful lot like Blend, and the new design tools seem to have a common thread,
right,
with their palettes.
Black.
And,
black background.
Black and moody in their palettes.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying that everyone had a voice before, they just didn't have the tools to express themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. So are you going to start playing with Silverlight immediately, or have you already deep into it?
You know, I haven't had time, but I'm certainly inspired after this event. I definitely can't wait to tear it open and dig in. Who has time at this conference, right?
Yeah, really.
We'll be lucky if we get to sleep.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us, and people can check you out at lynda.com. And then what is your podcast and
Also run the Flash Forward Conference, which is the largest Flash conference in the world. It's been going for 7 years. So the podcasts that I have personally conducted are at flashforwardconference.com and on iTunes. And we also have a lynda.com podcast on iTunes and at lynda.com.
All right. Fantastic. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day, and I'll see you around the conference.
I hope so. Thanks.